I'll invite you to turn to 1 Samuel. If not, we'll have it up for you. 1 Samuel chapter 16. This series, every year, we do a biographical message. A few years ago, it was Moses. We've done Elijah. Last year, we looked at Samson. And so this year, David is the man of the hour. This sermon series will get us into Easter. And I'm excited about this sermon series in particular. There's more said about David in God's Word, and I mean by far, than any other biblical character apart from Jesus. And so more said, and I, again, by far, it's not even close how often this man, this formative person for our faith, a picture of Jesus in many ways. Jesus illustrates that in the New Testament. But so this is a really important character. And I thought about as I prepared this message and just kind of thinking through David as a person. And it's oftentimes we look at biblical characters and we really put them on a pedestal. And often that's a good thing to do because they are role models for us. But we do not worship David. We don't worship Moses. We don't worship Elijah. And God's word is interesting because even these men of the faith are pictured and portrayed as deeply, deeply flawed individuals. And David is maybe more than anyone else in God's word. On the one hand, man after God's own heart. On the other hand, deeply flawed, murderer by proxy, an adulterer, wicked heart at times, and yet God used this very frail individual and with his own issues, but God has no choice but to use us. God has no choice but to use humanity to change the world. And so he has no choice but to use a broken, sinful man like David. And yet we're going to find that David, despite his flaws, despite things that we would consider to be not good, God still uses this great man in our history as we read in 1 Samuel. So I'm going to begin reading, and then we're going to kind of do a little backdrop here. But if you'll look with me, verse 11, this is Samuel obviously wrote the book. And so just a little background, Samuel came off of, was basically the last judge, prophet of God, in many respects a priest of God. And so Samuel is tasked by God to be an oversight to the king. And if you'll remember, who was the first king of Israel? Anybody who want to play with me a little bit if you do a little Bible review? Who is, Carrie, do you remember who the first king of Israel was? You don't remember that. So much pressure. So much pressure. So, let's see if Justin, who was the first king of Israel? It's a lot of pressure. It's something to remember. Let's see.
The first king of Israel was definitely Saul.
Thank you. Coming through the young man. Pastor's kid, PK. Coming through with the save. That's right, Saul. And if you'll remember, Saul was not a good king. As a matter of fact, Saul was a bad king and was not the king God had in mind. Let's just read, and then we're going to go back and talk about Saul in just a moment. But then Samuel said to Jesse, so at this point in history, Samuel is looking for the king that will take Saul's place. And so he calls on Jesse by divine act of God, as God is leading Samuel to find this king, he calls on Jesse. What a great name. Goes to Jesse's house and to find the king, the next king. Are all your sons here? Samuel goes through and sees all the children of Jesse, and none of them, God says, is king. And so Samuel's kind of scratching his head because he knows that the king is going to come out of this family. And so he asked rightly the question to Jesse, says, are all your sons here? And Jesse said, there remain yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And I don't know if you have the next verse. So he went and brought him in, verse 12. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. In verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and appointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, this is the story, and we're all familiar with it. Jesse brings his sons out. His sons come out. Samuel does not see the king. God does not say, that's the king. Although Samuel certainly saw people that he thought were fit to be the king. And Samuel says, well, hold on, is this all your kids? So no, there's one. He's still in the field. He's the youngest. He's tending to the sheep. And Samuel says, well, bring him out. And it turns out this is the man, David. Young. And so a couple stories had happened at this point, and I think it's important as we illustrate something about God's heart. And today I'm just going to give some principles as we look into this character. Amen. God bless you. Chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. Chapter 13 was the first time that Saul really messes up. And so I just want to give this background. Saul was told by Samuel to have everything prepared for a sacrifice. And Samuel said, I'll be there in a week. And Samuel doesn't show up quite in the timeliest of fashion. So Saul takes it upon himself to sacrifice. Now he's the king. He has no right to sacrifice God's sacrifice in the altar. But Saul decides as king that he has the right to do that. Sacrifices a sacrifice to the Lord in the altar. And it's at that point that God, this is not the man. And I just want to read. Samuel said to Saul, when he discovers this, you've acted foolishly. Verse 13, chapter 13. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom forever. If he would have just obeyed God and done it the right way, but he stepped too far, performed a sacrifice in a priestly role in a way that he shouldn't. And so Saul disqualifies himself from the kingship. And Samuel has the unfortunate responsibility to inform him, because of what you've done, you're no longer going to be king, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over the people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Then in chapter 15, Saul messes up again. Saul this time has a war. There's a war, a conflict with the Amalekites. You'll remember this. He has a conflict with the Amalekites, and God commands him, when you go to the city, you're going to kill the king, you're going to kill everything, you're going to kill all the livestock, you're going to kill everything around, you're going to burn it all because it's unclean. And Saul goes, and in his hubris and pride, he kills everything except for a few choice animals. And so Samuel, when he comes and discovers what Saul had done, something interesting happens. Samuel says, well, have you obeyed the word of the Lord? And Saul says, yes, I have. And Samuel hears the bleating of the sheep. And he says, well, what's that that I hear? Is that not bleeding of the sheep? Yeah, well, I killed everything but these few choice things that I thought would be great sacrifices. And Saul has to hear then from Samuel. Samuel says something interesting. Again, Samuel said, blessed, verse 22, has the Lord, Samuel said to Saul, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the word of the Lord? So you remember that story. Samuel says, hold on, God's more interested in obedience than he is in sacrifice. Now, this is important as it relates to David in just a moment. And he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed and to obey than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination or witchcraft, and insubordination as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. He says it again. And so now, two rejections, two disobediences on Saul's part. And God, after the second time, God tells Samuel, find another king. Everybody following the story? Saul, not a good king. You'll remember that Saul, the children of Israel, and all this has a point, but the children of Israel wanted to be, in their words, like all the other kingdoms, like all the other people around them, and they wanted to set up a king for them, like all the other people. And the word is, no, Samuel said, that's not a good idea. You have a king in God. So, no, we want to set up a king. Okay, well, we'll set one up. And notice how the children of Israel chose Saul, who was tall, dark, handsome. That's how the children of Israel chose a king. We're going to find that that is not a measuring stick for how God looks at people. I want to notice then back again at our main text, chapter 16. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he's tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent him in. He was beautiful and handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forth. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Let's make some observations this morning. It'd be good maybe to write these down. I feel very strongly that this is going to speak to us this morning. The first observation is God can call you to a great task. I actually want to use the word anoint, call, very specifically. God can call you to a great task no matter your age. God can call you to a great task no matter your age. Scholars tell us, this is profoundly interesting, scholars tell us that David was anywhere from 10 to 15 years old at this point. 10 to 15. And most of us in this room, if we're completely honest, and if we're thinking about our modern church culture, most of adults in the church today dismiss, for the most part, that age bracket. How many are hearing me this morning? Most of people look at 10 to 15, and I think about 10 years old. I mean, Addison's about to be, my youngest is about to be 10. That's ridiculously young. 10. 15 Micah's young, and he's older than that. So we're talking about Micah has already exceeded the age that God's word tells us, and we're assured by scholars that David was in this age bracket of 10 to 15 years old, and yet God calls him. And it's more interesting than that, because in the chapter that we just read in chapter 13, verse 13 or verse 14, God's word says, I want you to take a note of this. The Lord has sought for himself, but now your kingdom shall not endure. This is the Lord speaking, or Samuel speaking to Saul. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself. Notice the words. Everybody, I want you to repeat this in just a moment, but notice it. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after God's own heart. I want you to say that with me, the sermon title, A Man After God's Own Heart. I want this to sink in. Everybody with me. A man after God's own heart. Who is Samuel talking about? Samuel is talking about that there is a 10 to 15-year-old that in God's eyes is a man. Notice, not a child with God's heart, but because his heart is clean and he's faithful, he's a man after God's own heart. This is not Saul being told this when David is 20. This is David at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, and God is saying that that person is a man after God's own heart. And indeed, God is anointing him for a task and calling him to something great, and he's a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old child. And yet God has something big for this child, sees greatness in a 10-year-old. And I just want to just say, especially, and I said this in the video this week when we did the video, the Facebook video, but it's important. Listen, you look at, especially I'm talking to parents and I'm talking to teens. You look at your 15-year-old, your 16-year-old, and you don't see much there, but maybe you don't see something that God sees. Maybe God sees something that you don't see. You ought to be treating your 10, 11, 12, 10 to 15-year-old children and your teenagers and your 16 and 17-year-old as if God has something big planned for their life, that God can use them to change the world, because the way God sees things is not the way that we see them. The way we see them is not age. The way we see things is, oh, he's just 10, he's just 11, he's just 12, there's a 13-year-old girl, just little kids. That's not what God sees. God does not look like the children of Israel does at stature and size. And look at Saul. That's a perfect king. Look at this king. This king could be awesome. Look at Saul. Looks like such a wonderful looking man. That is not what God sees. God sees faithfulness. God sees things differently. We have got to get out of a culture in church where we look down at our youth as though they don't have much to offer. God doesn't see it that way. We're going to be pouring in to our youth. Does everybody receive that today? When 15-year-olds in the room, 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds in the room. Well, God can use me later. Maybe that's not even on your radar. I would say God's done a lot of tremendous things with people younger than you. And not only that, but God is, I believe, and I'm just going to speak this because I believe it, I believe God is calling and anointing some of our children to do amazing things for God. And sometimes it's the parents that put the kibosh on that. Sometimes it's the parents that don't see, that aren't walking with God quite like God needs them to, and so they're not pouring into their children godliness. Sometimes it's the parents and the church family that's not building up our kids. Oh, I'm about to step on toes. There's no question. Point number two. People will often not recognize what God sees. We've already touched on that. People will often not recognize what God sees. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all these the kids? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. Notice how Jesse is seeing David. His words betray his view of his youngest child. And Samuel said to Jesse, are your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he's keeping sheep. Oh, boy. You know what David, his dad, this is why I say that sometimes it's the parents that aren't doing right by their children in terms of building them up in the Lord. Notice that David, what he saw was age. He's just the youngest. Oh, he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd, which in that culture, as you know, was the menial, lowest sort of, can't be trusted for much else. He's just young. He can keep sheep, but who can't keep sheep? He's just, you know, he's that guy. And so little did he think of David that he didn't even bring him to the party in terms of Saul, bring me all your Samuel. Samuel says, Jesse, bring me all your kids. And he had such little regard for David that he didn't even bring him out. Why? He's just a kid. He's just a child. He's the youngest. Oh, he's keeping sheep. Surely you're not talking about the sheep, boy. Surely you're not talking about the one that's the youngest that has these menial tasks. He hasn't done anything in his life. All he's done is just keep sheep. We ought to be careful as parents. We're just going to say it. We ought to be careful as parents to be careful not to treat our kids differently in the sense of this. All our kids have equal value as it relates to what God wants them to accomplish. God, how many believe that God wants to use our children to accomplish amazing things? How many actually believe that that's the case? Because I do. I believe God wants to use our kids for amazing things. Not to look down at them because of their age like this dad did. And I can only imagine how David must have felt. He's not invited to the party. Well, my dad doesn't put a stamp of approval on me. I wasn't even invited to this thing. Parents play a critical role in the building up of our children such that they can reach the calling of God on their life to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. It's at least a parent responsibility. And so God doesn't see it the way we see it. And we as parents and we as a church family ought to be looking at our kids and saying, God may have something for them. God may have some big plan for that. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to build on that. I'm just automatically going to default into God may have a calling on that young life that's powerful. I'm going to build on that. I'm going to, by God's grace, I'm going to help that person fulfill all that God wants them to fulfill. That's our heartbeat. And by the way, Justin, as we're thinking about children's ministry, that basically is what God is calling us to do as a church with our children's ministry, saying God has value on all of these kids. Everyone here, God has a plan for that's amazing. God wants to accomplish great things for these kids. We're going to pour into that, believe God's going to work something. We're going to do everything in our power to make that fulfilled. That's what we want to do. Number three. Oh boy, you don't have to be perfect. Number three, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect to have a call of God on your life. I want our kids especially to hear this. But who am I kidding? This is for everybody. Not just for kids, everybody. You notice again that David was murderer by proxy. In other words, he has somebody go out. Remember, Bathsheba's husband goes out into battle, and David wants to make sure that he's in the front of the line so that he can die to cover up his sin with Bathsheba, because he knows Bathsheba's pregnant, and if her husband is in battle, we just kill the problem. And then I can marry Bathsheba, and nobody knows anything, right? Murder by proxy. That's the double down sin on top of lust, illicit relationship with somebody he had no business having a relationship with. David, far from perfect. David, the man that wants to build the temple. Remember, this is one of the reasons why David was disallowed, if you remember, to build the temple of God, because he had a heart to do it, wasn't his call. David, I mean, this guy had a lot of problems, and yet, here's the thing. Being without problems and being sinless is not the standard by which God uses to call people into a calling of God that is big. If that were the case, nobody in this room would be called to anything. What is it that God is interested in? Well, you remember chapter 15, we read it. He has much delight in burnt. Samuel said that God has, the Lord has much delight in burnt offerings and sacrificing as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. What is God looking for? A man after God's own heart. What you need to be, especially young people, what's God looking for? He's not looking for perfect. He's not looking for perfect. God is looking for someone who will be obedient and faithful. Saul wasn't that. David was. Obedient and faithful. That's what God wants. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. Just obey God. Number four, this is, I'm going to take a minute on this point. Number four, and then I'll explain it. David waits years before he's king. David waits years before he's king. I mean, remember, if you remember the story, David here is anointed, but nobody knows about this anointing. Nobody knows what God is doing in his life. As a matter of fact, through this, Saul, how many remember this story? Because it's so exciting. Remember, Saul at first warms up to David, and David has a good relationship with Saul, but all of a sudden, then he marries Saul's daughter, so he's a son-in-law to Saul, and yet later on in that relationship, Saul, out of jealousy, tries to kill David, and so David is running around, he's hiding in caves all over the place, and this happens for years. This happens for years. But hold on, but David was anointed king. Listen, there's a difference between anointing and calling and reaching that. There's a big difference between that. Saul is no longer king in terms of anointing, but he still has the position. But David is anointed king, and he's anointed king at 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. Absolutely not ready to be king, but that's the calling of God on his life. He's got a calling. You're called to be king. You're called to be greatness. And he knows that. He knows. Imagine the kind of thing to know. God's called me for something big. God's called me for something big. But you have to wait. You haven't arrived yet. There's still things you have to do. Okay, well, God, what do you have me to do? What are some of the things that you have to do? Watch tend to sheep. Tend to sheep. Tend to sheep. I'm called to be a king. God has anointed me. I was there. Like, I remember Samuel anointing me with oil to be king. And yet now life is kicked in and all I'm doing is keeping sheep. Be faithful. Be faithful. Because your calling is there. God knows what it is. Just be faithful to the small things. Be faithful to the little things. And God will fulfill that calling and that anointing one day. But right now, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. There's some adults in here that God has called you, and you may be 75 years old, but God has called you for something big. You don't know what it is. You think that your life is lived and it's done. There's nothing else God can call you to do. Why? Maybe God has something big in your last 30 years of life that's big, and you haven't seen it. God's called you to it. He's anointed you to something big, and you're just kind of resting, not doing anything for Jesus. Just be faithful. Be faithful. Be obedient. Continue doing what you're doing. Be faithful in Jesus, and God will illuminate that there's something bigger for you in the future. Our kids are 15, they're 16, they're doing this little thing, they're doing that. Be faithful. Be faithful to what God's calling you to do. Be faithful. The little things. Just be faithful. Be obedient to your parents. We talked about this the other day. Well, what in the world can a kid be faithful to? Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. I always tell my kids, you have two big picture responsibilities. You have to do well in school. That's your ministry to God, is to be faithful in that. There's no escaping it. That's a responsibility God has on your life. Be faithful to it. How in the world will God use you for great things if you can't be faithful in homework? That is your responsibility before God, is to be faithful. Be faithful in the responsibilities that God has. What's another thing? Honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You parents that don't demand honor and respect in the home, you're not doing well by your kids. That's a responsibility that God has on them. And if they can't do that, if they can't honor the authority there, they'll never honor authority elsewhere. They have to honor the parent. Have to. This is the training ground. This is the training ground for God wants to accomplish something big in you. Children, God wants to accomplish something big in you. Something awesome. God's got a calling on your life. What are you going to do? Be faithful in the small things. Be faithful in the small things. You have to do it. Adults, this goes for you. This goes to me. God wants to, I believe this 100%, I believe that God wants to accomplish through me things in the next 25 years that I would never dream that God wants to accomplish through me. I believe that 100%. God wants to do things through me that are big for the glory of God. I believe that. I believe the same thing for every adult in this room. God wants to accomplish amazing things in and through you. And that means that you have to be faithful where God has you. God will never bless you anywhere other than where you are. So if you're faithful at work and you're honoring God at work, so God, I'm doing this as unto the Lord, and everything I do, whether I eat or drink, do to the glory of God. I'm going to be faithful in what God has called me to do. I'm going to be faithful to God's house. I'm going to be faithful. If you do that, God will open up opportunities for you to do amazing things that you've never dreamed of, but you have to be faithful in the small stuff. And that's true of adults. It's especially true of children. We should not dumb down our kids. I just hope that we're not parents that are saying, well, they're just kids. I hate that's a very American thing to say. Now, I understand. I'm not talking about your 3-year-old. I'm not talking about three-year-olds. I'm not talking about terrible twos. Yeah, that's true. That's just the way God made them. They're sinful. Horrible. That's just what they are. But listen, when your 9-year-old, your 10-year-old, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old is not doing, it's not, they're just kids, that doesn't pass. No, you're not just a kid. You're called of God to be faithful. You're not just a kid. You're not just 12. You're called of God to accomplish great things. Live up to what God has called you to be and to do. Don't dumb down the responsibilities that your kids have. Have a godly standard. And they're not going to reach it. That's fine. But let them know that this godly standard is there because God wants you to reach for that. God wants you to reach for that standard so that in that faithfulness, as you reach for that, God begins to grow you and expand you. And God begins to prepare you for what is going to be an amazing adult life. Our children need to be godly children. And yeah, they got to choose for themselves, but parents have to be the kind of parents that put that standard really high and accept nothing less. Yes, we're going to be gracious. We're going to allow for mistakes. God knows we need to be gracious in our parenting. I'm a huge screw up as an adult. But everybody messes up. We're talking about, but then there's this standard. We're saying, man, we didn't make it this time. Let me just encourage you. God's got something big for you. God's got something big. He's got something awesome. God's got a calling on your life. He's got something for you in the future. You have to be faithful now in this little thing. You have to be faithful now in this little thing because God's got something big. You got to be faithful now in this little thing. I know it just seems little right now. It just seems like no big deal. It just seems like this little decision. You got to be faithful to Jesus because God's got something big over you, and you don't want to blow that over this little decision. You want to begin to train yourself up into godliness. Is everybody dialing in? That's a message for our teens. That's a message for our adults in this room. God has something. I believe this 100%. This idea that everybody here has accomplished what God's wanted them to accomplish, I'm out. Let's point five. This is important. Number five. Oh, man. God has something bigger for you in the future. And I wrote this in my Bible. God has something bigger for you than a giant. David, in the next chapter, will be confronted with Goliath. We all know the story. That's what we're going to talk about next week. 12, 13, 14-year-old at this point, 15-year-old going and confronting Goliath. And I can imagine a world. Now, again, this is important because David is not king yet, and yet he's already been anointed king. David's already been anointed king at this point, but he's still a kid. Nobody knows. Nobody said, hey, that's David the king. He's already been anointed. Nobody said that. This is private. Nobody has known the calling of God on this particular child's life. Nobody knows that when they walk by and they see David, that's a future king. Nobody knows that. All he is just a kid shepherd. And yet he comes to this battlefield, and by great faith, and I can't wait to talk about it next week, he slings a rock with a little sling and throws it, giant dead, David, big time. Okay, it's a great story. I love this story. You know what's interesting about the story for me? Is that David could have looked at that and said, look at what tremendous success I've accomplished. I've accomplished everything. You know, I've done such great things for God, and then rest on that for the rest of his life and never accomplish all that God has for him because he's caught up in this one big victory that was so public, and he did such a great job, and now he's caught up in this victory. But God's got a calling on your life, David. God wants you to be king. Yeah, but look what I just did. Nothing can top what I just did. There's always something bigger for you in the future. The calling of God is expansive over your life. The calling of God over every adult in this room is big and expansive and has more God-glorifying events that are going to be better than the last one. And so don't rest on the killing of the giant. So what do you do? What do you do? Teenagers, kids, what are you going to do as you wait for God to fulfill the great call and anointing of God on your life? You're going to kill giants. That's what you're going to do. You're going to accomplish great things as you wait for God to fulfill even greater things in your life. What are you going to do? In the meantime, you're going to kill giants. That's what you do. You just have success in Jesus, success, accomplishing great things, but you never look back at the successes. You just keep moving forward. God's got something bigger. God's got something bigger for me. The giant's nothing. What God has in front of me is bigger than a giant. What God has in front of me is the calling of God on my life to accomplish something big, and I'm not resting till I get it. There are adults in the room, I fear, I hope I'm wrong, but there may be adults in the room that you had a giant experience in the past. You killed your giant, you did your thing, and you keep looking back on it. The last 20 years, you've been looking back at all that God accomplished in your life 20 years ago, and you've never moved forward to recognize that there are things that God wants you to do in the future that are bigger than the giant. It reminds me of that, how many met these people where like you ask them like, you start to get to know people and they start talking about how great they were in football in high school. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like that's their thing. They arrived when they played football in high school and they had the big run that was the state championship run. You know what I'm saying? And that was their big thing is football in high school. You know, how many met those kind of people? How many are that kind of people? Yeah, man, basketball, that was, man, I remember when I hit that three-pointer, and that was like, because I remember those days. I remember when I hit the three-pointer. So that was big, man. I hit the three-pointer, and that was so cool, and everything's about your high school experience. Listen, we do the same thing in Jesus. We do the same thing. I see it more, not with young people, but I see it in older people. Sometimes you get to know them. And I used to be the director of this. I used to direct children's ministry. I used to do this. God called me to do this. I led to the Lord so many different people when I was in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s. And all that God used to do in me. Oh, yeah. So the calling of God didn't end there. God's got calling ahead of you that's bigger than what's behind. So I'm too old for that. Hogwash. God's got something big. There's a giant ahead of you that God wants you to kill. There's another call of God on your life that's bigger than the call of God was before you. It's bigger ahead. And so we hit this big giant experience, and we're like, oh, yeah, I accomplished this. Look what God accomplished in me. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. There's something bigger. This is not the end. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of David's ministry. And most of us would be pretty happy if that's all we accomplished in life is kill a Goliath. And for David, this is his first public ministry experience. He does it. And yet, you know what he does? He goes back home when he's done. He starts watching sheep. He goes home, he watches sheep. He goes home and he just goes to faithful. He just kicks into faithful again. Kicks into faithful. I'm going to be faithful in what God's called me to do. I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. And before long, there's another giant that comes along the way. And you do that. And God uses you to accomplish something else great. And then you turn around and just go back to sheep. Just keep doing what God's calling you to do. The little things, the little things, the little things. And you work out being faithful in the big and the little things, and then when giants come, God shows up. And then you go back to the little things again. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Giant shows up, God shows up. And then you go back and you're just faithful. You see what I'm talking about? David's life is all like that. David's life is all like that. You know, the cave, And Saul comes in, and he has an opportunity to kill Saul. Oh, it's a little thing. It's a little thing, but I'm not going to put my hand on the Lord's anointed, David says. There's no way I'm killing Saul, who's the king. He's faithful in the little things, and then God keeps elevating him. I want to encourage you this morning, and I don't know who this message is talking to. You know, it's a message predominantly this morning to our young people who need to hear the call of God on their life to say, God is calling you to something big. You've got a calling of God on your life. Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the little things. It's a message to every adult in this room. Does God have something for you to accomplish in your latter years? Absolutely. And you thought the giant that you killed 20 years ago was a big deal. God's got something for you ahead of you in the calling of God on your life that's unbelievable. You need to seek after that and to be faithful in the little things as well. A practical note, because this is a heartbeat of mine, God knows. Everybody in this room, God has a wonderful, amazing plan that is, if we knew what it was, if we were faithful in it, we would, this room would change the world. I just believe that with all my heart. If we would do what God's called us to do, Tiffin wouldn't look the same. There's no doubt in my mind. And so I'm just speaking life into you this morning, speaking a vision into you that God has something for you that's big, whether you're 10 years old or 80 years old or 85 or 90 this morning. God has something for you that is big and amazing. And what we're trying to do as a church is encourage one another in our walk with God. And some of you seasoned folks out there, none wrong with being seasoned. You know, well seasoned, amen. Well, we have well seasoned here. Some of us have to do better at pouring into our young people. Some of us have to do better at recognizing that God has something great and big for our children. What is God calling you to do to equip, encourage the young people of our church? I'm going to tell you something. If things don't change, and I feel very passionate about this, if things don't change in America and in our churches, we're going to lose our kids big time. We're going to lose our kids big time in spades. And the world is going to get a hold of them, and we will lose in the next 20 years the church. There won't be a church. And that's why I think we ought to be especially pouring into our children's ministries and our youth. And we need to have a godly perspective here. Our children are as valuable and vibrant a part of this church as the most seasoned adult in this room. Because the potential that God has for them in the future is boundless. And I want to entrust God with our children to accomplish something big through our kids. Because the calling of God is there. I want my children, I'm going to speak for my kids, I want my kids to be, of them to be said, they were after God's own heart, right? They were just seeking God. Yeah, mess up, absolutely mess up along the way, but as a general trend, faithful. As a general trend, obedient. Will you join me in a prayer that God uses our kids and our adults to be a ton of Davids that are seeking after God and accomplishing the call and anointing of God on their life?